Well, God bless everybody. I'd like to share a teaching I entitled Eternal Life. This teaching was inspired by several things over the past few weeks, but mainly because of how I see God's people out there holding forth His Word and giving that very same thing to all the people they come in contact with. We have believers here in Richardson, all you wonderful believers sitting in this room. We have believers throughout the outlying areas. People that love God, that want His Word, that are willing to do anything it takes to hold it forth. And what we give people is eternal life. And I thought that it would be really fun and happy to get into the Word this morning about that. So let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 1, this is an amazing section of God's Word, and I know you're just going to love it. It's an amazing section. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two. He sent them in pairs before His face. In other words, He directed them. He told them, this is where I want you to go, and I'm going to follow up. And if you read in the Word, you'll see that Jesus Christ went after the 70, He went and followed up and just checked up on everybody, see how they were doing. The people that they held forth God's Word to. He had a busy ministry. If you send 70 people out two by two, that's 35 pairs. And they were out there a while. They were holding forth God's Word into every city and place, whether He Himself would come. And when they came back, He did go there. And so they came back after they had gone out holding forth incredible things that Jesus Christ told them to hold forth. And in verse 16, he that heareth you, this is what Jesus Christ was telling these men. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despises you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despises him that sent me. So we get down to the nuts and bolts of the matter. Basically, if people don't want the word from God's people, they're despising God. And I trust that that changes in the heart and life of anybody that ever has an inkling of getting to that point, because they've been tricked. They've been seduced to believe a lie, because there is nothing better than God, and there's nothing better than God's Word, and there's nothing better than His Son, Jesus Christ, and there's nothing better than a Christ-filled believer walking with the power of God out there. And that's what these 35 pairs were doing out there. So obviously we had a little despising going on, but they still held it forth, and they came back. And as Jesus Christ continued in verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So what were they doing? Speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said this. This is true. He said it. No, 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 boo-boo. I don't care if you believe it or not. And they saw that the devils were subject unto them. They were subject. They had a little control over their own lives then. They walked out with His power. They had control. They were subject unto them. They weren't controlling them anymore. If they were, they weren't now. All the devils were subject. And Jesus Christ said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Yeah, that punk had to come down off his lofty perch, his self-appointed throne, and get involved, because his whole kingdom is getting screwed up now by 35 groups of two men. Oh my gosh, 70 people caused this? What about us? How many people are in this room? How many people are in the outlying areas? I'd say we've got a good 30 or 40 going on here, at least. Then we got families, and we got this and that. Yeah, we've got the power. Yeah. We keep Satan off his lofty perch. He's always running around trying to figure things out. And then when he tries to attack, he must flee, because we resist him. We back him off. But that's a little bit outside the scope of my teaching, because I want to share some other things about eternal life. Behold, verse 19, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All of it. What does all mean here? Without exception or with distinction? It's without exception. Without exception, it's all the power of the enemy. All the exercise influences. All of the imagined exercise influences. Anything that the enemy could ever possibly want to perpetrate against anybody or anything, who has power over it? 35 groups of two men back then, plus Jesus Christ. plus a couple other people that they found along the way that were doing the same thing. It's pretty cool. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Now, that doesn't mean don't rejoice, but there's more is what he's saying. Because they were rejoicing because they came back with joy. Okay, so they were doing the rejoicing thing. He says, but don't rejoice just about this. Not that the spirits are subject unto you, and they are. They really are. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh boy. This is big. This is big, guys. Now, if their names are written in heaven, does that mean they're going to heaven? Yes. Where are we seated? We in the Church of Grace are seated in the heavenlies already. Don't even wonder if your name's written in a book of life or in heaven. You're seated up there. Okay? We're a special group. These were the Israelites. And for them to know that their names are written in heaven right then blew their minds. Because that's what they all wanted. You can go and study in the Old Testament and find out that they wanted to know about that. That God told them, I'm going to erase your names if you guys keep this up. I'm going to do this. I'm blotting them out. Okay, I'm putting them back. This based on that administration. And Jesus Christ told these people, they're written. They're written. That means eternal life. I think they took a breath because the joy in rejoicing for knowing that they had eternal life far superseded any joy in rejoicing they were experiencing about kicking the devil's rear end. All good, though. It's all good. It's all good. So you're going to have your like mini joy in rejoicing every time you beat him back if he's trying to fight because we're on the front lines for God. But your true joy in rejoicing lies in your eternal life. And that's the focus of where I want to take this from now on in the rest of this teaching. And that hour, verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Well, he was rejoicing too, okay? And said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It seemed good in God's sight. Yeah. You always wonder, well, what does God think about me? What seems good to him? Pairing up, getting out there, doing it like God wants you to, you know, giving eternal life to people. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is. Okay, we're going to incognito mode here. Now, I didn't write this book, but this is what it says. No man knoweth who the Son is. You could put a period there. And you go, yeah, sure seems like that. Nobody really knows who Jesus Christ is. Oh, but there's a comma. And it goes, but the Father. Oh, good. God knows who Jesus Christ is. Well, I'm glad. And no man knows who the Father is, but the Son. Okay, so now we have God and Jesus Christ. They kind of know each other really well. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Nuh-uh. So you walk it in life and you go, gosh, they ought to see the Christ in me. They ought to know who I am. Look at me. I am a Christian. I'm standing on God's word. But has God revealed that Christ in you to them? Has God revealed himself to them? I'll show you in a little bit how that he reveals himself through his word. And there comes a point where it's time to speak. Got to speak it. You got to teach people. And then God can do the revealing. And that's part of his giving the increase. We plant water, God gives the increase. Okay, well, let's move on. And he, in verse 23, and he turned himself unto his disciples and said privately, hey guys, come here. Come here, I got to tell you something. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Let me ask you a question. Everybody's listening to this. Do you see where I'm coming from? Do you see it? Do you see it? Hey, you're really blessed. Well, good, because that lines up with Ephesians. God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yeah, it lines up with a lot of other parts of the word, too. That's cool. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and haven't seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and haven't heard them. Hear what? See what? Desire what? Context here is eternal life, the greatest thing that we could ever joy and rejoice in. Yeah, in the behind the scenes of what goes on in the spiritual realm, we see it. In Romans chapter 12, let's go to Romans chapter 12, because we do have power over the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. Stephanie manifested today And God just asked us a question as he was working in her heart in that manifestation. What do you have to be afraid of? I didn't ask that question. No. Stephanie did as God was working in her heart. That's cool. And that's how the manifestations work. That's okay. That's a good thing. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Nothing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And that's part of being all things to all men, you know. You just kind of have this perception about how to love people, about how to care for them. You see where they're coming from. And you just can relate to them. And all of a sudden you have an open door and you guys can open up the hearts to each other and get into the word a little bit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That's agape lifestyle. There's a, well, you guys probably have all heard of Steven Seagal and that kind of karate style that he likes, Aikido. And it's a style that's a deflective style where you can turn and somebody kind of goes past you instead of making full contact. And you can do it verbally too. Instead of facing off if somebody's going to be real loud or angry at you, you can deflect it away by how your verbiage is, how you speak. And this giving place is directly in line with that. But, you know, God taught all this first. Steven Seagal, Aikido, and all this other stuff. It would have to be second or third to anything like that as far as the principles applied. The principle is that give place. Give place. Like, let it go by. It's got a place. Oh, and it wants a place. And it'd like to climb right into everybody's head. But it's not going to. Because we walk like Jesus Christ walks. We walk in his footsteps, the agape way. It is the cornerstone of our Christianity, how we live. And here it is right here. Give place unto it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God's keeping the score. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We have overcome, and I'm going to show you that, but we've overcome in a sense that we have eternal life. That's the greatest overcoming. Remember, the context of the teaching is eternal life and the greatness of it. You already have seen how that eternal, having joy and rejoicing in eternal life is far greater than any other joy and rejoicing. And I got some pretty good joy and rejoicing when I get out there and I stop the old adversary from messing with people, from messing my life. But there's nothing compared to the eternal life one. Well, this is true also. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do the good, because God keeps the score. And he fights the battles we can't fight. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see, the last enemy, and there is an enemy, and it is a real power. And so I'm not trying to negate that. I'm trying to put it in its right place, according to God's word, because nothing by any means can hurt us as we're living for God. It just can't. And it can't touch our Holy Spirit. Can't do that. In verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's a big one. And because of that, all the other problems have come into the earth, the universe. In fact, so bad that God's going to recreate everything. And 1 John chapter 2, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. So we do have that enemy, and that enemy is out there actively trying to stop the move of eternal life. That's what we do. That's who we are. We have it inside. That's what we give to people. You can go to as much schooling as you want. You can become as proficient as the best of the best in any realm in the five senses world, and it's nothing compared to giving people eternal life, because we're talking about deathlessness. We're talking about living forever. Yeah. And verse 14 of 1 John chapter 2, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Yeah. How have they overcome? It's not in this arm wrestling contest. It's not in this strength of wills. It's because of Jesus Christ. We've overcome because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's our overcoming. We've overcome the wicked one. The wicked one couldn't overcome Jesus Christ, could he? And because of that, we have entrance into the throne room of God. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Specifically pertaining to Romans 10, 9 and 10, getting born again. Yeah, we abide forever. Forever. We really are going to live forever. And that's a good thing. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist is come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. Well, what is this Antichrist thing? Well, you know the big one that talks about, that I'm not going to really say too much about. There's a big one, but there's also anybody that really doesn't believe in Jesus Christ and the power of God. And the power of God is what gives eternal life. And there's people that come and go. They simply won't believe in it. Well, there's people that do, like us, and we believe in it. We're not anti or against Christ. We are for him. In fact, we have Christ in us. And it's really nice when people are not anti-Christ against us, because then they're for what we do. And it makes it so much nicer to be around them, because we're going to keep doing the same thing anyway. We're not backing off, because we are right. We're righteous. We have everything we need, and God's given it to us. There's nothing greater, nothing better than what we have because of what God has given us through his Son, Christ Jesus. So if anybody wants to be anti that, too bad. We're not stopping. I don't see any one of you stopping moving God's word. No matter how hard your life gets hit, how many burdens you have, you all are so awesome. You keep moving God's word like you do. I'm so proud of you. I don't want to be around anybody else. I'm here. I'm here for the duration till Jesus Christ comes back. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Well, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And there's a category of people that can be born again. They're born again, but they still deny the power of Christ in them. They're against it. So there's degrees of this thing. We're not of any part of that, because we believe not only in God's word, but we believe in the power of eternal life. We believe in the power of that resurrection that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And we get out there and we show people that. How wonderful that is. How special that is. How rare that is. But how big it needs to be. 35 pairs did it. 35 pairs did it. What a good start, huh? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. So we let it remain in us. We keep our heads in the Word. There's so many things out there that could make that stuff just kind of go away, kind of dissolve out of our frontline thinking process, so to speak, you know, where you're just actively thinking things, where just the word comes to mind. But we don't let that happen. And this is the promise, verse 25, that he hath promised us even eternal life. He's promised that to us. And chapter 4, 1 John. Chapter 4, this 1 John, just amazing, amazing book in the Bible. It deals with eternal life. It deals with showing people what they have, especially new Christians, people that are just getting into the word. And it also shows us how we've overcome so many things. In verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, or have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have overcome. We have overcome. Now, this is big. This is big. There's another ministration coming that those people are going to have to deal with things a little differently than we do. We're going to be gathered together. But in that other ministration that's coming, those people that overcome, they're going to be pillars in the church. It says that in Revelation. Those people that overcome them, well, we have already overcome. We're part of the whole building, the body of Christ. We're already seated in the heavenly. Heavenly's never more to come into condemnation. We've been judged worthy in Christ Jesus. We've been given eternal life. Yes, our names are written because we're already seated there. And this is what we take to people. This is what we take to people. We don't have to think about condemning stuff. We don't have to think about anything that would make us feel less than who we are in Christ. We keep our thoughts focused on God's Word and what He's made us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we live that way. We have the right to. There's nothing that we need to be afraid of. Right, Stephanie? That's right. In chapter 5 and verse 4 of 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our believing." Yeah, there's times where Jesus Christ prayed that people's believing would increase in the Gospels. Necessary. Because it's the victory that overcomes the world, our believing in action. We're already born again. We're already going to heaven, and all hell can't stop us from going. But what about living each day, day by day? It's our believing. And if you're not making it in a Christ-like way day by day, it's something to do with your believing. Well, how does believing increase? It comes with the increase of God. How does believing happen? It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so it's all about getting back to the Word. And so if there's issues in your life, if there are things in your life that you need to have increase in, it comes back to believing, and it comes back to knowing what to work in the Word, where to go, and what to do. And if you need some help, email, call, whatever, get some help, get it back on track, because you're already perfect. You're the best. And that's never in question. But sometimes that believing is, and that's the victory that overcomes the world. And we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what got us born again. Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" You see, we're not going to pass away when the world passes away. All the things of the world and stuff passes away. We're not going to. We've got eternal life. We're going on. We're going on to live forever. Yeah. And verse 10 of 1 John chapter 5, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Well, what is this record? What's the record that God gave of his Son? And this is, oh good, right in context. "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." You can't have the Son without having eternal life, and you can't have eternal life without having the Son. Yeah. And we have Christ in us, hope of glory, and we prove it when we operate those manifestations. We have eternal life. Anytime things get down, anytime you feel frustrated, just manifest that gift of the Holy Spirit a little bit. It'll bring you right back around. Because that's where your joy and rejoicing need to be, in eternal life. Number one. Rest of it, it'd be joy and rejoicing too, but the greatest joy and rejoicing is in our eternal life. Boy, that just turns the tide. Sometimes all it takes is the thought. All it takes is a thought. Get out there and convince yourself of it. Talk to yourself. You're driving down the road or riding your bike to school or whatever you're doing. Talk about your eternal life. Bring back the things that are that you know from God's Word. Talk it up. Just say, "God, I got eternal life. This is so awesome. One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back for me. One of these days, and it could be very soon, in a moment, in the smallest particle of time, there's going to be the arising and changing of my body, and I'm going to heaven, and then you're creating a new heaven and new earth. What's it look like? Show me some things about it. Whatever's available. I want to see it. I want to see it through the Word. And then I want to be there. I can't wait to go there. God, what's it like to live forever?" Take your whole thought process there. Take it out of whatever you're in. This is what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Eternal life. Forever living. And everybody gets concerned about, "Oh, I don't know if I can make it over the next 6 months. Oh, look at this bill that may be coming up. Oh my gosh, We have to get another car. How are we going to do it? Uh-oh, I've got to buy another airless paint sprayer for the company. Whew, that's a big one. That's a big one. Hey, take your thought process to where the joy and rejoicing needs to be. Get the joy and rejoicing back. Get your believing where it needs to be with eternal life. And I guarantee everything else is going to fall in line. It's going to become almost a joke because you're going to have everything because your Father knows that you have need of these things before you even ask Him. All the stuff that's in your heart, the things you want, you deserve it. You're the most deserving people on the face of this earth. What is it? You know, Lynn, you're the one of the ones that taught me so much about how to stay the course, how never to back off, how if you've got a dream and a hope, you just push, and you never stop. And I see that in Michelle, too. Boy, she's a whippersnapper just like you are. It's so cool. Like mother, like daughter. Except at Sam Houston. Oh, okay. I'll get back on track. That's pretty funny. They had some fun things at college yesterday. Stephanie's going to college, and they went down to visit her college she's going to in Texas by Huntsville, and they had a lot of fun. So they were telling us about that, and it was really cool. And Stephanie just has a wonderful reputation to live up to. That's right. What her mom was doing. It was a great family. Well, this is really great, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. In verse 12, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is so funny. I mean, every verse it's talking about eternal life. You know, okay, I know eternal life. We're going to live forever. La-da-da-da-da. No, it's not like that. We really are living forever. We really are. If the burdens of the world are pressing you so hard that you can't see forever, well, see 3 weeks from now. See 4 weeks from now. See living in a Christ-like way 2 months out, 3 months out. You know, okay, take baby steps, but see it. How do you see it? It's how God works in you to show you. How do you see your own eternal life? Maybe it's too big. Maybe there's a lot going on. Maybe you only need to see today. I'm living forever. You act like that. Live like that. I want to see it way out. I want to see it like this life means nothing. That all the things in it are just things that I've got to do because I'm just passing through. Because it's all going to pass away. It's all going to pass away. All the things that we can desire are not to be even compared with God's word, His wisdom. There's nothing that's even worth it when it comes right down to it except the things of God. And eternal life is a biggie. Yeah, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. He's already given us eternal life. What more could we want? And He goes on to say, hey, anything according to my will, I'm giving it to you. Well, you've already given me eternal life, God. All I got to do is keep breathing until it happens. But if I stop breathing, it's still going to happen. I've won either way. But see, I want to keep breathing until it happens because I'm immortal and I want to become immortal. I want my body to rise and change when Jesus Christ comes back during my lifetime. And I want to see it happen the same for you all. Yeah, because we've been saved from wrath. We've been saved from death. And it's that big. It's our hope. It's so wonderful. That's why we don't have to be afraid of dying. We don't have to be afraid of getting sick. We don't have to be afraid of getting taken out. We don't have to be afraid of moving out on our own. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Paying taxes. We don't have to be afraid of what people are going to think about the word of God that we speak, because there is no lie in the truth, and we are of the truth because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, seated in the heavenlies, right down there beside our Lord Jesus Christ. We are there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Cool. I like that. If any man sees, oh, and by the way, if anybody tells you you can't have what God says you can have, Just tell him, I have the petitions that I've desired of him, and you don't have a thing to do with it, because God's going to give it to me. God's going to give it to me. And he's going to do it exceeding abundantly above all I think or ask. And I'm going to keep my life busy asking and thinking, because that's the minimum baseline of what God does for me. He's going to do far above and beyond that. Yeah. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There is one sin, and that's getting born of the wrong seed. That don't even worry about praying for people for that one, because they can't get it reversed. Well, we're not like that. We're not even in that group. We probably will hardly ever see people like that. But there is only one sin that is unto death that cannot be reversed. Only one. And that's being born of the wrong seed. It's making Satan your Lord. We'll never do that. That punk, we're too busy having fun kicking his butt. He's dead meat. We resist him. He's got to flee. Yeah. We know, verse 18, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Oh, really? And y'all just kept reading? No, stop right there for a minute. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So stop worrying about sins. You're not using your liberty as occasion to do it. But stop worrying about them. Let it go. If you got a little room in your mind that you compartmentalize to come up with some kind of guilt, sins, wrong things that you perceive that you're doing that's keeping you from being who you are in Christ, stop it. Not worth it. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? That you're not sinning because you have been made perfect in Christ Jesus. You've been made that way. How wonderful that is. Yeah, how wonderful that is. Oh, man. In verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Doesn't touch us. Can't touch our Holy Spirit. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in. There's a figure of speech, ellipsis here, means omission. The whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. But we don't, because there's no power that he could ever manifest that could stop us, because we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. And part of that power is eternal life that we have. Part of that power is what we can manifest right now. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. True, true, true. You're of the truth. You're true. You're right. You're not a lie. You're not a sinner. You're not sin conscious. You're not judged unworthy. You're not bad. You're not evil. You're good. You're true. You're right. You're of the truth. And you ought to be proud of it. Yeah, you ought to be real proud of it. It's so wonderful. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. I think that's kind of funny. After all this stuff, keep yourself from idols. You know what that means? You keep yourself from anything that is anti or against Christ. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Keep yourself from any thought process. You know what you think. If you got rooms made up in your mind for stuff, man, bar the doors. Put the locks on it. Don't go back there anymore. Make a new room. Put that lazy boy recliner chair in there. Have the Word up around on the walls. Good things. Go in there. Make yourself go in there. Call it your eternal life joy and rejoicing room. Jerry taught us about this years ago. I've always remembered it. Remodeling the living room of your mind. Yeah, just go there. Don't be afraid not to. You can do it. I know the thought process is pretty dang strong, but so is the Word. Yeah. Keep yourself from anything that's anti-Christ. That's a big help. Well, keep yourself in the Word of God. That's another way of saying that. So that's a little bit about eternal life, a little bit about the things that have been stirring in my heart over the past couple of weeks about this whole subject. And thank you so much for allowing me to share it with you.